Would you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 14? If this is the first time to our church, welcome. But I want you to know this, for the Calvary Chapel, we study the Word of God verse by verse, expository manner, going through. By doing so, we eliminate a personal favorite topic of pastors. We get everything what the Lord tells us. And if you are from charismatic background and you love speaking in tongue, you will be offended. Before you pick up the stone and stone me, before you hear me, or before you say I'm wrong because what I'm about to say may not the way you like it, hear me. If I speak out of term from the Word of God, then stone me. But if I speak from the Word of God as is, without my personal opinion, then obey the Word of God. Are you with me on that?
Amen.
With that in mind, please follow the Word, not my Word, follow the Word carefully in context. Don't take it out of context, okay? All right, we'll start. When I was in junior high school in Seoul, South Korea, I was taught English by a Korean English teacher who was also educated by the Japanese English teacher. No offense to Japanese, they have the most horrible English accent. If you think I have a bad accent, they have a worse accent than me. Because it's not them doing bad, it's just their language that way. So Japanese English teacher taught their comprehension of English pronunciation to the Korean teachers, and they taught me. When I was in senior high school, I started to learn a second foreign language on top of English, German. I muddled through. And then when I got into the college, I don't know what got into me. I decided I'm going to learn French. It didn't go very well. So I had to say adieu to French and walked away and stay with the English only. Now that I no longer use my native language, I forgot the conversation vocabularies. There are times I get to hear some of the Korean conversation on TV, whether it's a movie or the TV cast, especially during the time when President Trump was visiting the country. And I hear them, and I have to strain my ear to listen to understand what they're saying. And I turn around and ask my wife, what did he say? As if my wife Karen don't understand that. I can understand Spanish better than the Korean language. But I can still read Korean writing and understand because I can comprehend that portion. But vocabulary, fast talking, no. In other words, I speak no Korean and I speak horrible English. I have a split personality there. Understanding foreign language is rather difficult if you don't have some knowledge of it, right? Speaking in tongue is not much different. Whether it's using human earthly language or heavenly language. Unless someone interprets it, you don't have any idea what the person is saying. And you're wondering, Pastor, do you speak in tongue? Yes, I do. When I pray, a lot of times I speak in tongue. I have no idea because I do not have the gift of interpretation. However, I am really weary of some immature Christians who learn their bad Christian habits and knowledge regarding spiritual gifts from TV evangelists and preachers who do not know what it's supposed to be, how it's supposed to be used, much more than the viewers. So, as Jesus said, one blind leading another blind. Are you with me? How do I know? How do I know that kind of thing happens? Because I've been in the Foursquare Church, I've been in some of these assembly gardens. No offense to them, I love them, but they are not doing right. Entire church started speaking in tongue. It's like you're walking into the gigantic airport when everybody's talking at the same time. and foreign languages coming in, you hear it, and it's like, what is this? Is that supposed to be? No. We will read that. Often we miss what is important in God's sight and end up chasing after what fascinates us emotionally. Let me say one more time. Instead of what God tells us to do, we chase after what fascinates us emotionally. This chapter 14 is teaching us what to do with speaking in tongues in comparison with prophesying. Obviously, the Apostle Paul had a great deal of problems with the Corinthian church people and about speaking in tongues. The whole chapter is dealing with which one is more valuable between tongue and prophecy. How speaking in tongue and need to be done, how speaking in tongue need to be done, and Paul even put the limit in speaking in tongue, but not discarding speaking in tongue. I hope that we learned the way God wants us to speak in tongues and prophecy properly, biblically, so that we don't cause havoc in the body of Jesus Christ. Are you with me on that? Do you want to do what is right in the sight of God, or do you want to do whatever you feel like to do? I don't care what your former denomination done. If it's wrong, it is wrong. To compare with the Word of God, if they did wrong, it's wrong. The portion of the Scripture we are going to study this morning provides a strict guidelines on the value and the role of tongues. As we examine the Apostle's answer, we will gain insight into handling this issue in our own church, not according to denomination's way or my personal opinion, rather according to what the Lord says in His Word. Amen? All right, before we get into the Word of God, I need to give you the base. Four introductory points I need to show it to you. Before we do that, let's pray. Father, there are so many voices talking about the speaking in tongues, one of your spiritual gifts you allowed us to have for self-edification as well as church corporate edification. And we don't know how to use it properly in general. So there are two opposite sides that we divide the body of Christ. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to learn everything according to your way, not our way. Father, teach us. Anoint our heart. Anoint our mind. Let us clearly focus on what you tell us. And let us have that obedient heart to obey you, to honor you. Father, anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sin. Father, we pray for the President Trump and all the leaders in this country. Father, we pray that you may empower them in such a way they may do only what is right in your sight, according to your will. Father, we pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Three of our soldiers were killed, and one of the deputy marshal, U.S. marshal, was killed. Seems like there are always threats against our first responders. Father, we ask you to protect them and put the hedge of protection around them. We pray this in Jesus' name. First point, we are studying the book of Corinthians, not tongues. It's easy for us to sidetrack into the pros and cons or the bog down in details and according to the experience. But we are going through the book systematically in expository study manner, not through topical study. Second point, the main subject of chapter 12 through 14 is the spiritual gifts, not as whole, not just speaking in tongues. The gift of tongue is emphasized in chapter 14, not only as it's related to all the spiritual gifts, but to the entire body of believers. Stop there for a moment. When I got saved in the Four Square Church. I used to go there because my wife said it's a good church, because she was told by her mother that it was a good church. And it was a big church at the time. They, as I mentioned, spoke in tongue freely during the service, and then no interpretation to follow. The congregation put so much emphasis on the speaking in tongues, and some of them even actually believed that to be truly saved, to have a true salvation, you got to speak in tongues. Wrong. Very wrong. Show me one place in the Bible that is necessary. Third point. The Apostle Paul addressed chapter 14 to the church. You hear me? To the church, not individual. Because speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift, and spiritual gift should benefit the whole church. The apostle is dealing with the tongues as a public gift, not as a private experience. Fourth point. The apostle wants to correct the problem in the Corinthian church, not elevate the gift of tongues. He knew that the Corinthians are abusing this gift, like many immature Christians in 21st centuries. He spent time on this not to exalt it, but to show the insignificance of the speaking in tongue in relation. I'm not saying that speaking in tongue is insignificant, but in relation to other gifts. As a matter of fact, the whole chapter 14 is pretty much dedicated to the restriction on speaking in tongues. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gift, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to man, but to God. Let me read that again. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to who? But speak to who? So, put that in the back of your mind. Speaking in tongues, speaking to who? God. Okay. Where was I? I got lost. Verse 2. Sorry. 2, 3, what's the difference? All right. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks the mysteries. Verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks what? Edification and exhortation and comfort to men. For he who speaks in a tongue to edify himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless it indeed he interprets it, that the church may receive edification. In other words, if you make a ranking, if you rank the spiritual gift, prophecy is a little bit higher than speaking in tongue. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Apostle Paul spoke the prophecy and the gift of tongues only in context of other gifts in the spirit, of the Spirit. Now he will focus on the gifts of the prophecies and the tongues and how they should function in the church congregation. Obviously, in the Corinthian church, there was an overemphasis on tongues and an underemphasis on prophecy. Like I said, my first church, the Fourth Square church, they overemphasized speaking in tongues. With a gentle transitioning from the eloquent chapter 13 on love, Paul evaluated the gift of tongues by contrasting it with the gift of prophecy in verse 1. We tend to think that prophecy as predicting the future. Somehow, many Christians consider the prophecy as like looking at crystal balls. No. If you are into prophecies because it's something for you to know, no. Prophecy, biblical prophecy is much different. As I touched before, prophecy is a telling forth of God's message in a particular situation, always in accord with His word and His current work. In other words, if you have a prophecy, but that contradicts the Word of God, guess which one stays, guess which one should go in the trash can. Whatever the prophecy that goes against the Word of God. You with me? Yes, sometimes this has a character of foretelling the future, like mentioned in Acts chapter 21 and 27. All right, so let me give you the illustration. I'm using Michelangelo's the painting creation. Prophecy is coming from God to human. Do you understand the direction? Don't forget this. From God to human. Even though human is the one who is speaking, he is nothing more than mouthpiece of God to proclaim the oracle of God. Everybody got that? Okay. Again, the gift of tongues, the speaker is speaking to God, as we just read, not to man. This regard of this verse leads to the one of the most significant misunderstanding in this regarding this gift of tongues. Believing tongue is a supernatural way to communicate man to man instead of man to God. If I use that painting again, here's the image. Speaking in tongue is a man to God. Everybody agrees? What was the direction for the prophecy? God to man. Okay. Put that in the back of your mind again. With the gift of tongues, the intention is speak to God, not to man. Therefore, it is fine if no one understands it. The exception to no one understand to him is when tongue is publicly interpreted. Even then, it is not the tongue itself that is understood, but the interpretation of the tongue. Speaking in tongues is a prayer and praise or other communication with God. All right, this time I will put another interpretation on the painting. So speaking in tongue direction is from man to who? God. Interpretation, just explaining what it says, again, same. Man to God. What about prophecy? God to man. Okay. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go to Acts chapter 2, please. By the way, one of my favorite Bible teachers, Benny Hinn.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. One of my favorite false Bible teachers, Benny Hinn, says he got heard about Calvary Chapel sticking with the Word of God. And all they talk about is the word, word, word. Really? If God put his word before his own name, do you think he put the emphasis on the word of God? Verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues, with Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in their own language. When they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthian and Medes and Emerite, and dwelling in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, in Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the part of Libya, adjoining to Syrian visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretan and Arab, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." The content of tongue, here it is. Wonderful works of God. Does it mean that speaking in tongue can be a foreign language for other foreigners to understand? Yes, it can be. If that is what the Holy Spirit chooses to. This is the case in point, folks. Whether it is in the earthly foreign language or heavenly language, speaking in tongue is about wonderful works of God. Or giving thanks to God, or praising Him, or praying on behalf of us, because sometimes we just do not know what to pray or how to pray in that situation. So, Holy Spirit intercede for us. I'm so grateful. There are times I have no idea what I'm supposed to pray. One of the only experience that I had as a baby Christian, one day I was praying, I started speaking in tongue. You know, when you hear the German language or the French language, you can tell by the sound, right? And this language was Vietnamese, and I don't speak Vietnamese. I don't even know the word of Vietnamese. And then it switched to the Spanish. You know my Spanish vocabulary, right? Agua, baños, enchilada. And it's far more than that. It was going off like almost like a native Spanish people speaking that fast. I thought, this is cool. It edifies me. But I have no idea. Back to this. Since he who speaking in tongue does not speak to man but to God, it follows that it is a gift for self-edification, not church edification. He who prophesies edifies the church, as I mentioned. Because prophecy can be understood by all, and true word of prophecy build up everyone. Here's the 3 points. A word of prophecy will edify, which means build up someone, not tear down. A word of prophecy will exhort, encourage someone, not discourage them. And a word of prophecy will comfort, strengthen someone, not weaken them. Okay? All right, let's go down to verse 6, please. Slow down, go back. Come on, you are in school. Hurry up. One time I was doing the same thing at the men's conference, and one of the young men, he got the sermon online, and he said, I feel like I'm back in the Bible college. I don't know, it's a good memory or bad memory. Are you done? Can we change the slide? Can we move on? All right. Verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with the tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, they make a sound. Unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if a trumpet make an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So likewise, unless you utter by the tongues, the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking to in the air. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kind of languages in the world. None of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks. He who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are jealous for spiritual gift, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray, and let him who speaking in tongue pray that he may interpret. Oh, I'm sorry, I mixed it. Verse 14. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. All right. Speaking in tongue is great, but without interpretation, it is foreign and not beneficial to anyone who hears, including the speaker. That's case in point with me. By using the illustration of musical instrument in a foreign language, the Holy Spirit teaches us through the Apostle Paul that we need to be careful about speaking in tongue. Have you ever had an incident? A little child pick up the harmonica or sit on the drum set, start the banging, the sound. Let's make an example of this. Is it still on? On? Okay, if I go like this. You got that, right? And you're about to say, shut up. But if Tony gets up there, it becomes music. Because he knows how to play right. Or kid with the harmonica. And you like to take it away from him. Without the proper sound, it's worthless. Interpretation of the tongue also misused in a great deal due to the ignorance of the scripture. After someone spoke in tongues, someone else get up and start to go through the motion of interpretation. And they say, "Thus saith the Lord." Always speak King James language, as if God is speaking to man. Remember the direction? Speaking tongue is what? Direction from man to God. What about interpretation? Same. Interpretation of the tongue is the same from man to God. And when the person said, "Thus saith the Lord," that's from God to man. Are you with me? In other words, that person is lying. Because they are in the spiritual church, quote unquote spiritual church, they say, "Ooh, yeah, that's good interpretation." No, it's wrong. You know why that happens? For two reasons. First, they didn't learn and understand the truth about speaking in tongues properly from the Bible. Again, I'm going to say this one more time. If you have to write it down again, then write it down. Speaking in tongues is from man to God. Interpretation is man to God. When somebody said, "Thus saith the Lord," it's from God to man. So that interpretation is wrong. And the second reason is that they saw and copied another reason who also do not know much about this gift. And some of you are thinking that, "Well, you sound brutal." Well, yeah, the truth can be brutal. Another misusage of the found in prophesying in the churches. Again, some people get up and they are prophesying. They start with again, "Thus saith the Lord." They say it in King James language. Nothing wrong with the King James language, but they change their voice as if the Holy Spirit grabbed their vocal cord and changing it. And they start quoting the scripture in general. The content of prophecy is, as we studied before, prophesying what the Lord has in mind about some particular circumstance as the Holy Spirit gives a revelation to the speaker so that everyone who hears understands. Not in general, but a specific way. It is not necessary about foretelling the future, but foretelling the heart of God for the situation with edification, exhortation, and comfort in mind. Are you following me so far? All right, go down to verse 15, please. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For indeed you give thanks, for you give thanks well, but others is not edified. Verse 18. I thank my God I speak with the tongues more than you all. Paul is from south. And yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in tongue. Very important. In other words, Paul is not thinking that speaking in tongue is that's as important as some of the people in the Corinthian church. Paul used the gift of tongues both in prayer and in song, and he used it often. Paul used the tongue very much focused in his devotional life with the Lord. Paul has to make a reference to how we can sing in the Spirit. God can give us the freedom to exercise the gift of this tongue in a melodic way, so it flows in with the worship. So when you are all alone singing to God and you start speaking in tongue and you put the tune into however it comes out, guess what? You're speaking in tongue in music, in worship of God. Cherish that time because that's between you and God. And however, based on the principle in this chapter, this if this is done, it should never be done in a way that would draw attention to oneself or distract others. In other words, if you are going to do it in public, there better be an interpretation to follow. Let's say someone has a problem with his weight. And you're thinking, who doesn't, right? Because he loves to eat. You know, I used to hate to eat. I used to tell my wife, let's eat this and get it over with it. Really. Now, I love to eat. And you're thinking, yeah, you passed the middle life and you're getting old, that's why. Maybe so. If you have a weight problem, not eating is not the solution. Because if you don't eat at all, sometime you will start to eat again and you will eat like there's no tomorrow. But if you eat with the control, you can reduce the weight. Same goes for this. Corinthians had a similar problem. They were misusing the spiritual gift without any control. God, Holy Spirit is speaking through the Apostle Paul, you guys need to make a control of this gift. We are not supposed to abandon our spiritual gift, but learn how to use the gift with the proper control according to the Word of God. Paul saw great value in the gift of tongues for his own devotional life before the Lord, and verse 19 brings up the conclusion of this morning's study. Let's go back to verse 19. Yet in the church I would rather speak five words of my with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues, in a tongue. For edification, what? Exhortation and comfort. Four applications, please. Number one, being aware of your spiritual gift is pleasing to God. If you have no idea what your spiritual gift, then you need to pray to God and ask Him what your spiritual gift is, but not to boast about it, to use it for the glory of God, for the body of Jesus Christ. You with me on that? Second application. Being willing to use your gift is constructive to the whole body of Christ. Third application. Being satisfied with your gift is honor to its giver. Fourth application. Being the proper user of speaking in tongue for the glory of God, not oneself. All right, let's stand up and pray.